today. Appreciate the goodness of our Lord. 2 Timothy chapter number 3. Been praying God to do something in us today. Do something for us. And do something with us. I don't know about you, but I'm a handful for me, but it ain't too hard for Him. I know some of y'all got all this figured out. I tell you what I've got figured out. Without Him, I'm sunk. Peter found that out. He got to walking on the water, did pretty good. The storms got up, and he began to sink. So he found out he is sunk without Jesus. I done found out, honey, entertainment ain't going to get it done. Theatrics ain't going to do nothing but bring in a worldly crowd. Let me tell you something. A man ain't got to add nothing to what Jesus done wrote. My input don't mean nothing. I better stay in what thus saith the Word of God. And this Word's built this church and it'll finish it out. I come to tell you, neighbor, Jesus is coming. You better get ready. You better get latched down real tight. Because we've yet to see what the persecutions that the church and the Christians are going to experience. We got people running in office. As far as I know, neither one of them know God. But I can tell you one thing. When I was a 12-year-old boy, I could have run things better than how it's running today. Amen. I did know what end of the mule the bridle went on. I learned that from Grandpa. People's gone absolutely stark raving crazy. But my Bible's still right. Are you with me this morning? We in Bowden, Georgia, or we downtown Atlanta? Me and Renee went to Atlanta and I got out with my Glock on. We went and got some furniture downtown and she pulled off the side. I reached in the glove box, Brother David. Lord, you need a Gatling gun to go to Atlanta. I like my God-given right to carry a firearm. Matter of fact, I got a pretty good one right there, a double barrel right there this morning. A lot of boys went to using a water gun. That's something these politicians want to take your firearms, but they don't want to disarm their bodyguards. Boy, we live in a sad country, you know. But we still live in the greatest country upon the earth. Two things. One, because we've seen about the nation of Israel. Number two, because we're God's people holding this old world together. Let me tell you, when this church is raptured out of here, there's going to be 7 years of chaos going on that no politician's never seen. And then the Lord's going to split the sky back with that white horse. And you that don't like to ride horses, you better go to learning how. Because we're coming back with Him on one. We're going to rule and reign for 1,000 years with Jesus. But till then, I've got a Bible to preach. Ain't you glad you got you a preacher? Do you want a preacher? You want a politician or you want a preacher? This ain't the first time that this world's ever been dark. This world's been dark since it's ever come forth. God spoke light into existence. And when God takes this light out of here, friend, it's going to get darker than it's ever got. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. I won't preach on this subject this morning. On the last minutes in the last days. The last minutes in the last days. This know. He said, this is what I want you to know. Also that in the last days. What do you mean last day? Right before Jesus' return. Perilous times or stressful times shall come. You want to know where you're living?
Listen to your preacher this morning. For men shall be lovers of themselves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof. From such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses, lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with divers lusts. Talk about where two fools met. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as James and Jambres withstood Moses, those magicians that stood against him at the Red Sea, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith, they shall proceed no further. Their folly shall be manifest to all men, as theirs also was. But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, persecutions, underline this, afflictions which came unto me. He said, I wasn't asking for them. They found me out. They come to me at Antioch, at Iconium, at Lystra. What persecutions I endured, but out of them all. Out of them all, the Lord delivered me. Yeah, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned, and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them, that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scripture. That's why you need to bring your babies to church, because they can't drive. Which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. There is no other way to heaven except by the Lord Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and reproof and correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick, the live, and the dead, and He has appeared in His kingdom. Preach the Word. Be instant in season and out of season. He says, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. But after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. They shout. Somebody need to spray the mites in their ears. Somebody say amen. I noticed that old cat on the car park scratching his ears. It's time to get a flea collar. Amen. I know some congregations need a flea collar. They got itching ears. They shall turn away their ears from the truth. And look what you do when you turn from truth. You'll be turned into fables. Any man, woman, and boy turn their back on the Word of God, I can tell you where it's going to take you, to a dead-end road this morning. But watch thou in all things, endure afflictions. Do the work of an evangelist. You want to know why your preacher's gone sometime? I'm following the Bible command. Make full proof of thy ministry. For I am now ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. Glory. I fought a good fight. finished my course. I've kept the faith. Henceforth, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all them also that love His appearing. You may be seated this morning. Father, we love You. We thank You for this time together. Thank You for the Word of God today. Thank You for the Spirit of God. Thank You for the saints of God that are gathered. We need to hear from You today. We need You to do big things through us and in us and for us. Help our nation this morning. Help our community. We'll be careful to honor You and thank You for everything in Jesus' name. Amen. I've noticed preaching a couple of nights in revival. I've run upon some verses in the book of Isaiah chapter 1. And I want to turn there right now. The Lord's wanting me to read this, and I don't know why, but I sure do want to follow Him. I want you to go to Isaiah chapter number 1 this morning. Isaiah chapter number 1. And I want you to notice what the old prophet had to say concerning the church. Isaiah chapter number 1. Look what he says in verse number 7. Isaiah 1, 7. Your country is desolate. Your cities are burned with fire. Your land strangers devour it in Your presence. And it is a desolate as overthrown by strangers. The daughter of Zion is left as a cottage in a vineyard, as a lodge in a garden of cucumbers, as a besieged city. Here it is, verse 9 and 10. Except the Lord of hosts had left unto us a very small remnant, we should have been as Sodom and we should have been like unto Gomorrah. You know why God didn't burn this world up yesterday? Because of us. Hear the word of the Lord, ye rulers of Sodom, and give ear unto the law of our God, ye people of Gomorrah. To what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, saith the Lord? I am full of burnt offerings and rams and the fat beasts. I delight not the blood of bullocks or the lambs or the goats. When you come to appear before me, who hath required this at your hand to tread my courts? Bring no vain oblations, license is an abomination unto incense is an abomination unto me, the new moon, Sabbaths, the solemn assemblies. I cannot away with it as iniquity, even the solemn meeting. Your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hateth. They are troubled unto me. I am weary to bear them. And when you spread forth your hands, I'll hide mine eyes from you. When you make many prayers, I'll not hear. Your hands are full of blood. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil you're doing from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. If you be willing and obedient, you shall not eat the good of the land. But if you refuse and rebel, you shall be devoured with the sword, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. A lot of people think that this old world don't need the church. But let me tell you what's holding this world together. It's not politics. It's not the stock market. It's the church. God said if it wasn't for a small remnant, it would be as Sodom and Gomorrah. You know what He done in Sodom and Gomorrah? He rained down fire and brimstone and destroyed the city. God's going to burn this world up one day. I wouldn't be putting my treasures here because they're going to burn up. Just like what Brother Adam said. You see, when you put heavenly investments in safe places with God for safekeeping, you're storing up above. When we work our fingers to the bone and put everything here and try to get it secure because we've got to live and we enjoy a lifestyle, I understand all of that. But all of that's going to leave one day. And let me ask you something. When you close your eyes for the last time and all your assets here are gone, what have you got there? What have you sent ahead of you? I like what one old preacher had to say. He said, everything that a man leans upon but God will be a dart that will certainly pierce his heart through and through.
He who leans only upon Christ lives the highest, choicest, safest, and sweetest life. There was a man died and went to heaven one time. He'd been there a few weeks, and a man walked up to him and he said, "Sir, I realize you've been here a while. What have you learned since you've been here?" This is what he said. He said, "I've learned three things so important in my life." And you listen to this preacher this morning from Bowden, Georgia. This is what he said. What I spent, I lost. What I saved, I left. But what I gave, I have. Jesus said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth nor rust nor thieves break through and steal." What are you sending ahead today? Now, the Spirit of God spoke to me. I'm going to preach this later. I'm going to say a couple things and then I'm done preaching this morning. I want to say something that in these last days, there is a last day church. I'm glad I'm a part of one of the greatest churches in the country. And I'm glad that I belong to the church of all churches. That's the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not the church of the Latter-day Saints. But the church, Brother Adam, of the Lord Jesus Christ, who hung on a cross, listen to me, and died for the sins of this world that we all could go to heaven. So your children could go to heaven. Jesus died for every one of us in this building. There's a church in the last days that's got so carnal and so worldly as a whole. You can look all across America and you know yourself many churches have went into marketing instead of ministry. And we better realize we're not in the marketing business, we're in the ministry business. This church is supporting probably 60, 65 missionaries. Getting the gospel out, the Great Commission. You know why? So people don't die and burn in a devil's hell. The gospel's still right. Jesus saved. The church of the last days. Matter of fact, the Bible said in the book of Revelation, chapter number 3, you'll notice before the Lord returns back for this church, He said in Revelation 3, verse 14, He said to the angel of the church of the Laodiceans, it means power of the people. That's the norm. The democracy of the people. The church has never, ever been intended to be a democracy. It's a theocracy. God runs the church. The pastor don't even get to make the decisions. He's got to follow the leadership of the Holy Ghost. It's a theocracy. God runs things. He said, "I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that you were cold or hot." Just a lukewarmness. The church of the last days. "So then, because thou art lukewarm, neither cold nor hot, I'll spew you out of my mouth. Because thou sayest I'm rich and increased with goods, and here we are in our country, have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked." We think that everything's great. I'm going to tell you, materially, we've never had it this good. Comfortable. Nobody's hungry in our church that I know about. But he said, there's an issue there. He said, nobody has a need of nothing. But he said, they know us not that thou art wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. It may seem to be so good, but it's never been so bad spiritually in America. Do you remember the days? I remember Sister Peggy said she got saved in a tent meeting in Florida. under one of the great revival preachers of the 50s and 60s. You remember, Brother Mark, we've seen the clips and the videos where God would gather multitudes of thousands of people together. A preacher would get up and preach and he'd save hundreds. That's not going on in America this morning. We're the church of the last days. And let me tell you what we're to be doing. We're to be heralding the gospel. Telling people that Jesus saved. Muslims has come in to our community and our literature, and it's just the roots of the devil trying to trick people that there is a other way. There's only one way to heaven, and that is by the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ this morning. The church in the last days is going to have so many ridicules, so much pressure. But it all comes from out with outside. You always remember this. A church never collapses from homicide, but from suicide. It never closes because of the outside. It's because of the inside. And we in God's people, I'm glad to see people standing and magnifying our great God this morning. We better turn the light on brighter than it's ever been turned on. We better turn our shouts up and quit going to sleep on our pews and realize how good our great God has been for us. You've got babies, better get saved. I got grandbabies, better get saved. Because without Jesus, they'll all die and go to hell in their sin. There's a church in the last days, a lukewarmness. Well, that's pretty good, preacher. Got a nice place. What you so tore up about? Lukewarmness. The spirit of lukewarmness that brings where we're not grateful for what God has done for us anymore. And he says it's a spirit that carries out across the land unless somebody stands up and does something about it. When you come to Liberty Baptist Church, we ought to mind the Lord. We ought to be coming here with one thing in our heart to worship God and hear something out of the Word of God. You ought to be glad you got a preacher that's still preaching out of the Bible. Because your family's going to go on a bad road without it. We live in a day, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God. You know what I've noticed about the devil, Brother Jerry? Brother Adam, what I've noticed. Now, if the devil walked up to you, Brother Adam, and said, you can't take your family to church no more, you know what you'd do? You'd say, devil, get off my porch. But you know what I've noticed what he does to families all across America, Brother Gerald? He says, well, you can go to one sports activity on Sunday and you can miss this one on Sunday. And all of a sudden it becomes a pattern and the devil accomplished things by just a lukewarmness attitude. The devil's smart, but he's wicked. He's wicked. He's subtle. He knows what he's doing. He's been doing it a long time. You better listen to your old country preacher this morning. Church of the last days. But I'm going to tell you something. God has entrusted Liberty Baptist Church with so much. So many quality families. You know the families that's in this ministry? They're from other places where churches have died or God has saved them. And God's been real good to you. God's been real good to me to let me pastor a group of people like what we got. Look around. God's been good to us. We shouldn't sit on our hands. Our hands ought to go up and say, thank you, Jesus. I can remember in a storefront building preaching on a high chair with nothing. You tell me I shouldn't exalt my God and thank Him. How good He's been to me. Give me a wife that loves me. Makes mistakes every day of her life. You know why? She's human. Giving me a church to pastor, giving me the oversight thereof. Giving me blessed grandchildren who is a heritage of the Lord. Got red-backed hymnal books in a bank that we sing the old songs and a King James Bible that we tell the old story. The church of the last days. Lukewarmness. Lackadaisical. Don't you realize, Mom and Daddies, unless God saves your children, There's only one option of where that they go. Some of you here this morning, you've never been saved. You're rolling dice at eternity, and you're going to lose when you roll dice. When you walk out in Las Vegas, you ought to realize something. Somebody's paying for that junk. Because people lose more than they win. It don't take a smart man to figure all that out. You go in, buy your lotto tickets, want him to pay your tithe at church. Think you're going to get lucky. Won't you go to follow the Bible and get blessed? I'd be afraid to win the lottery. I'd get stupid. Some of you crazy enough without winning it. I want to say this precious book of the last days is proved. It's precious. Most amazing book that's ever been in my hands. It's a talking book. It talks to me. It's a touching book. It touches me, Brother Michael. It's a training book. It teaches me things that I ought not be doing. Things I need to be doing. It's so valuable in my life and in our church. We've got to have this book. Our altar. Many problems we got in this church. I don't know why it's even room for me to step up in an altar. There's many lost grandyounguns and brothers and sisters and mom and daddies. We got to earnestly say how I've got room to step up to preach. It ought to be filled. Lukewarmness. I'm not chewing you out for being at church. I'm just telling you the real deal where our culture is at today and this day and this hour. The average church I walk in and preach, Brother Adam, they're so discouraged. The preacher's about to quit. That's these men. They travel more than I travel. They see it all around this country. But let me tell you something. Jesus saves. This book's still right. And we still got one of the greatest churches in this country. You ought to make people welcome when they come in. You wouldn't believe the places I go and sit down. Ain't nobody turned to look at me. I say, why in the world would anybody want to come to your church? This ain't a click. It ain't a clack. We all even at Calvary. We need God in our lives. We need the Holy Ghost to minister to our hearts. I want to say this morning. I want Miss Emily to come. I want you to play something. I want to read a verse. There'll be conversions in the last day. Not many, but a few. You know what, really, you men that are my age, you know what really, really concerns me about our culture? Brother Larry, our hour, Brother David, Brother Steve, this is what really bothers me about our hour. 50 years ago in our country, Brother Charles Williams is in heaven. I want to call his name. Sister Vince, Brother Vince, your wife, Preacher Horace Wilson, that's who I'm wanting to say. Brother Wilson's nearly 85 now. You know what he told me one time in a preacher's meeting? He said, Ken, if you'd have come up my era, he said, I've seen times that I'd go up and I'd preach a simple gospel message at Fuller Field in Villarica, Georgia, see 30, 40 people get saved in one meeting. Well, you know what happened there? People's children got saved. Their loved ones got saved. And now we don't even have that on our mind. I wonder how many of y'all's prayed this week if you got a loved one's lost. Lord, would you save them? And we wonder why God's not doing nothing. You know the hardest battle for me to preach in this church? Is on a special day. It's the hardest battle. Oh, bodies are here, but ain't nobody's mind here. We're thinking about what we're going to do, when we're going to get out. And I'm just being right where we all live at. When we hit the grounds of this place, we ought to realize it's God's house, it's a special place, and we ought to be looking for God to do. Let me ask you something. If God don't save your grandbabies, what's going to happen? Our Bible's still right. We better be praying God to deal with hearts. Now, and this is what I want to read, and I'm done this morning. I've totally come plumb off of outline, but I'm not out of the Bible. I want you to look at this verse. It's one of the greatest verses. I read it every time I try to. 1 Timothy 2. Now, ma'am, I want you to hear this old preacher real good. You die without Jesus, you're going to go to hell in your sins. You're going to stay there for an eternity, separated from God. And I don't care what any liberal politician's saying, hell is still real. First Timothy 2, verse number 3. This is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior. Now, if we want to know something that's good and acceptable to our God, here it is. Who will have all men to be saved. And now watch this. And to come unto the knowledge of truth. In other words, you've got to realize it. There's one God. One mediator. That's the go-between. That's how you get to God. The only way you can get to Him. One mediator. The man. Christ Jesus. Who gave Himself a ransom or a price for all to be testified in due time. You know what we've seen from some members today? Verse 8, how therefore that men pray everywhere and lift up holy hands without wrath and doubting. He'd save you this morning. You know why? Because He loves you. I don't care what you've done, and I don't care how long you've been doing it, the blood of Jesus can save you this morning. Come now and let us reason together. You might not have a chance later. Christ in the last days. Christ is still working. This is the end of the story today. It's what you need and what you want is what you're going to receive. Can't nobody lead no horse to drink. You can lead them to water. You can't make them drink. But let me tell you, there's a fountain flowing this morning. There's a well that never runs dry, springing forth to life eternal. I'm glad He saved. Anybody glad you got saved one day? I mean, really, are you glad you got saved one day? Well, I want to tell you something. I want to give this invitation, my sister's plan. I want to tell you this altar is open. I don't care what you need for your life. If you'd come and ask Jesus, He'd help you. I want to say this to a sinner today. I don't care what you've done, but I tell you what I'd do. I'd come and I'd trust Jesus to take care of my sin debt or hell's going to be your home. As the Holy Ghost deals with your heart and your life, I'd trust Him to do something for me. You say, Brother Ken, I don't know nothing about church. I don't know very little. All I know is I'm a sinner. I know that. I'm going to go to hell. How do I get saved? You step out by faith to Christ. And it'll work. He'll do something for you that nobody else can do. I wonder this morning by faith. What about it, young person? What about it, older person? Nobody here is going to judge you. Jesus is judge. You better take this Word of God, how He wrote it, and realize it's true. Jesus is coming. You better accept Him before it's too late. Father, I love You today. And I bless Your name. Help us to realize we are in the last days. God, Your Bible's still right. Your church is still redeemed. And I want to pray that You'd help a sinner here today. I pray that You'd knock upon their heart by the Holy Ghost, point them to Calvary. Help our church, oh God, that we'd not go to sleep in this day and this hour. Help us to always be watching, working, waiting, doing what You've called us to do. Help us now in Jesus' name, I ask You. Amen. And then would You come this morning?